Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us at the I Mom So Hard podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening. You should rate, review, subscribe. Because everybody's opinion matters. I am saucy today. I have things I'm upset about.
Listen, for the most part, let me just say we are on tour and it has been so fun.
Oh, that's great. That's part of it is awesome.
Here's what happens in our lives. Either you're on the road. One of two things happens. You're on the road and the show suffers because you've given too much to your family. And so you didn't like practice enough, or you feel like you're pulled in too many different directions, or the shows are too separated between days between the shows that you're like, oh, shit, I can't remember what I'm supposed to say. Or your show is killing it. And then everything at home is going like tits up. And I'll tell you right now, the tits up is where we're at.
Yeah.
It's been a real frickin', and might I just say, and every mother knows what I'm talking about. This is not just because we're traveling comedians sometimes, but the amount of administrative shit that you have to do while on the road to Minority Report organize shit so everybody gets picked up and taken to where they're going is like, do I work for like the CIA? Like I have attention deficit disorder and details are hard for me. And so I am looking at my calendar with 72 squares on it going, okay, there's one pickup at 7:12. There's one pickup at 7:35. There's another. Somebody has gets out early release. I know that I'm speaking into the air because I know we all deal with it. I would just like to say it's not fucking easy.
Yeah. We're definitely feeling overwhelmed. You should go to imomsohard.com, get tickets, come to the show. Wear like fun throwback clothes, whatever that means to you, flashback clothes. We've had ladies wearing like groups of like 15 wearing like 80s tracksuits, like just breaking so much wind.
How do we say and get the point across how happy it makes us when we look out? First of all, just to look out and see a crowd of women, and we know exactly how many hurdles you jump to come and see us, but to also see them laughing and having fun, but then to next level that shit and get a group of like 15 wearing like tracksuits from 1980s. And they told us we've had a couple different groups. They told us they all went and had dinner beforehand. And they were like, one of them was like, I dare you to drop a beat to the like DJ. And, in Providence. I was so happy.
This big group, their husband rented a big party bus to drive them all around in, and he dressed like a chauffeur.
And he was so cute. I was like, you better get some sweet ass tonight, because
she's going to get pregnant again.
Yeah, she is. She's like, oh, darn it.
Well, but it's why I love it is because now a lot of y'all, you don't need anybody to give you permission to go out there and party hard. But there's a lot of moms who are like, they're so like stuck in the dedication, the work part of being a mom, that like taking a little break feels like they feel guilty about it.
We always feel so guilty, which is just ridiculous.
And I love the idea, like Kristen and Jen are giving you permission, if you need it, to go be silly, to go out and wear your high heels and your short mini skirt if you want to, or wear a tracksuit because they're super comfy. Just something that like gets you out of your day to day and lets you feel like just different and resets you, like, is the ultimate goal. That's like the best that can happen.
Well, and it's, I mean, I honestly think it's the thing that's like keeping me alive right now. I'm having so much fun on the road, but life at home has been absolute shit show.
It's hard. And can I say, like, my husband is juggling a lot. We talk about it in the new live show, how we're the sandwich generation. Like, my husband is dealing with his father is ailing and needs, like, additional support. And that is a lot. Like, I have been
so
there.
Much.
It is brain encompassing. It is like having a newborn, sort of. It's, you're always thinking about that. Like, he's scared to miss a phone call from him. Like, I totally get it. And he's doing a great job with the kids. It is everybody else in the world that is really fucking me over right now. And I'm going to come in hot if I can.
Come in hot, Jen.
I barely slept last night.
Me
because
too.
My son was sitting in his room working on something last night, which he normally doesn't do. He's usually like out among us. Like, if it's on the iPad, he does these little projects like videos or coding or something like that. And he's in his room, like sort of sequestered at his desk, handwriting something. And about 9:30 at night, he finishes it and he comes into bed, and it is the tiniest little like sixth grader handwriting you've ever seen that he's written with pencil on the front of two entire like white pieces of 8x11 pieces of paper about his diet, his daily schedule, what he's going to do. And I was like, hon, this is great. And I knew it was like part of his school, like a science, they're supposed to do a log. But I was like, hon, what is this? And he goes, ugh. A kid today called me fat in PE, and he is not. He's nowhere near fat. Like, he has like baby skin, but he goes out and he like practices lacrosse every day. He's doing like basketball. Like,
you don't have to explain that, but I know why you are explaining that. But I think what we need to explain is that other kid's a real turd.
He is such a turd, and I immediately
it's such a mean thing.
What the fuck?
Being told you're fat, for some reason, I think as a kid, it's so hurtful because it is something that we have learned is a negative. And also, even just saying it to someone that is an absolute pencil, the person receiving that information for a minute goes, like, literally, they could be like, I've been diagnosed underweight and you're calling me fat. I know that isn't real. But it's like, it's a name.
I'm trying to be.
It's not the word fat. It is what the target of that word means. And I got called fat.
It's like, A, it's low-hanging fruit. It's sort of like the thing dumb people say. Like, it's akin to slapping somebody because you don't have the words to express, like, I'm irritated with you, or I don't like you, or
I'm so
intimidated
sorry
by you.
Dash had to hear that.
And the way that he, like, I mean, he's a sensitive kid, not in a annoying way. He just is like thoughtful.
Well, he's going to take it in, is what he's going to do.
He's taking it in. And I was like, I'm looking at this list, and of course, my brain goes to, what's this kid's name? I got a kill list. I'm like, not a kill. But you know what I mean?
I know.
Like, I got a list. I can find out. And he knows. I'll find out who his mom is. I am that mom. It's just like, I was in this bubble pre-middle school where I could protect my kids pretty well. And like, especially my daughter, I still can. I know all the moms in her class. If there's a problem, I'll go right to them. In my son's world, I'm just like picking
it's
up
middle
like
school.
Yeah, it's there's no protecting them from this stuff. And now all of a sudden other people can hurt him, and it makes me crazy.
It makes us crazy, but the other thing you have to realize is you've been doing a lot of work with that boy for a long time, and he's going to be okay. Like, that's the thing we forget, is that they aren't coming out of the womb at 11. You know, we've been working on trying to help them figure out the social stresses that come. But middle school, man, is when it feels like somebody just opens your chest and says, here's the thing I'm the most insecure about. Make fun of that. Like, this is the thing I want you.
Here's the platter with everything I hate about myself. Yeah, and just hone in on it.
Please talk about the fact that I have no boobs, that I'm hyper, that I have a speech impediment, that I have a bad haircut, that my eyebrows are growing together. Please.
Yes.
All of those are up for grabs.
Let's throw in some braces, some like hardware. Let's throw in the brand equivalent, like a Kirkland brand, not the type. Like my parents were never like, there was no Abercrombie in my life.
Oh, God,
my parents were like, these Pro Wings from Walmart are totally fine. They look exactly like Nikes.
Just sprinkle in a little IBS in there.
My seventh grade year, it was like, by the way, you're going to wear a pad that looks like it's a sandbag. It's impossible, kids.
The world is so unfair.
It's like if you survive middle school, you have earned your
life.
Right to exist in the world. Because like it is so, everything is thrown at you in such a hard way. And no one's immune for it. And like what my brain goes to with this kid who said this thing is I'm like, well, then, either he's just a sociopath, which I don't think most people are. I think statistically it's a very low percentage. Or he's insecure. Or he's like...
Or he's an idiot.
Or he's... Yeah, well, there's that too, I guess.
You know what I mean? I mean, look. I know for a fact. Well, I was a little older. I carry this with me to my grave. But I made fun of Brad Stewart's... He wore a beret one time. And I made fun of it.
That's love, though. That's a love language.
Well, I made fun of it in kind of a public space. And his brother had brought it back for him from the military. And I...
Oh, I walked right into that.
Yeah. And I was so impulsive. It's not an excuse. It's just what I was dealing with at the time. And that was where I got in trouble with ADD is I would just... Whatever was in my head was coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. And if you don't know, if you're new to Why Mom So Hard... Kristen's brain is right in front of her mouth. So that's where all of the thinking happens. So, and don't think that won't change in a minute because she's just processing through. Like, she might hate the beret. I know Kristen, so that, what the fuck are you wearing that beret for? That beret looks stupid. Actually, it looks like it's a well-made beret. It looks like it's from Europe or something. It looks like a very fancy beret. Where'd that beret come from? Do I need a beret? All right, I've ordered a beret.
But in this time, my friend Brad, rest in peace, was really upset and I really hurt his feelings. And this is one example of
he
many
loves you.
That I'm
he
sure
did love you.
That I left not a good impact. I'm fully aware as we do these podcasts, especially with the flashback tour and writing the book, that I'm traveling down memory lane going, there were definitely times when I said things that I regretted or said. But here's the thing. It's weird the ones that we take with us. Like, it's weird that there are compliments that I've been given across my life that, like,
oh, you think you'll remember those? Maybe a couple.
Well, it is, but I'm saying, like, I try really hard to tell Eleanor and Finn that, like, and my dad taught me this because I think I was really shitty at it at first, is when somebody has enough, like, care to extend a compliment to you, be quiet, look them in the eye, listen, and say thank you, and then be done with it. I think I was, like, either, like, adding on, maybe, or, like, let's talk about me more. I mean, I was probably like, yeah, I am great. Let's talk more about it. And my dad was like, you're being an a-hole. Or I was like wanting to get out of the conversation. I didn't want to stay in it. And he's like, if someone has something nice to say to you, that doesn't happen very often. You sit there and you listen. And it resonated with me because I realize now what he's saying is you're going to need those to fill your positivity jar as much as you need those that are negative. And when I was going through a little bit of counseling with ADD, because I was just riddled with all of the symptoms and a psychologist told me to have like a feelings bucket, and if the people around you should be adding to it and like filling your bucket, and like you have this bucket full of feelings, so you could think of them as shells or marbles or something, and if the person next to you sort of feels like they're kind of taking away from your bucket, like they're not good, you gotta because you need those that feelings bucket to cope with your life. So it was kind of like, and now I hear Brene Brown or, you know, talk about the light. Don't let anybody take out your light. But those visuals were very important for me because I am a visual person and a tactile person, that when people were saying those mean things, that's what was filling my bucket and defining who I was. So here's what I would also say to all of these conversations is, maybe you're not supposed to say this.
Say it.
But I feel like I would like to tell my daughter, if somebody says something that low, hit low back. Am I not supposed to say that? Is that not?
No, that's exactly what I said to my son. I go, if somebody sets the rules and they set that bar really low.
Play the game.
That can be the one time that you...
You're fat. You're dumb. Well?
I mean...
You know? You're fat. Your parents are divorced.
My husband was... I'm sure I brought this up before, but like my husband was really mad at me when Dash was like in preschool and these kids were like, you run slow, to him. And I go, you tell them you can read and they can't.
Yeah.
Like, we can all like have a thing that we feel good about, you know? So, but he didn't even want to hear that. So I'm caught off guard in, you know, you think you're going to, as a mother, you think you're going to be prepared for all of these like scenarios coming up because you, having been a middle schooler, have dealt with them in some way. But number one, you lose all perspective and logic when you're a mom because all you want to do is protect your baby. You're like, I'm going to get in a fist fight with a 12-year-old. Like, this is what's happening. Like, I was flabbergasted, and I couldn't believe, Kristen, I knew you'd make me feel better about it today, but I could not believe how much I could not settle down last night.
Like, I'll pace like you've never, I will, you know what I do? Because this is what happens. Little baby Kristen and little baby Jen, when we endured middle school, we didn't have as much wisdom. We weren't as tall, me more. And now where you're bigger, you're like, you feel like you're like Rocky Balboa. You like, I've been training. Like, mess with me now. Now, you can't go eyeball to eyeball with an 11-year-old, but there's something that happens internally in us when it happens to our kids. It is like it is happening to us. And you have to reason with yourself that it is not. It is such a visceral experience to, and this thing you love so much is getting hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You better just, like, it's hard not to become the parent you know is going to, it's not going to end well. You have to be a reasonable person, but it's perfectly fair for you to be high strung for an evening and pace and say shit you're not supposed to.
I mean,
it's fair. It's working it out, man.
Well, my husband, I was like, you got to go talk to, he's not listening to me. Like, me trying to, like, you know, make him feel better, fill his bucket back up, you know, like, it wasn't working. So I told my husband, I'm like, maybe it'll come better from you. And so he came back in the bedroom and I was like, how'd it go? He goes, I just told him this one story about how when my husband lived in New York and he was like 30, he was playing soccer, like one of those pickup leagues in the park. And he goes, their games would be at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, because that's what you do when you're really young. Like, you don't sleep and you can still get up at 6 a.m. And he goes, I'd gone to dinner with friends and I had this like the biggest chicken dinner anyone has ever had. And then I go to play football or go to play soccer. And he's like, I was going to barf. He's like, I'm trying to run. And he goes, and some guy called me fat on the other team. And I mean, we're talking the lowest stakes game ever. It was probably a bunch of like Wall Street bros who were hoping their hearts didn't explode from cocaine. Like, probably nobody should have been playing in this league whatsoever. Like, it's, but it you know, they got a little bit chippy. And so my husband said, he said to the guy, he goes, okay, cool, I'm gonna lose weight. You're real ugly. Real ugly.
I have a good story about my husband for this. So my husband, who's a little thick, has always been, is very active in coaching and put together the 3-on-3 basketball tournament at our local elementary school.
Yeah.
And then was also ran field day. And whenever he does that, he wears a referee uniform.
I love it so much.
And this referee
I think he has like break in case of referee emergency glass like in his car. Because he is so ready. He's like, I'm always wearing a whistle just in case.
I just steamed five of his shirts for while I'm gone. And they're all sports apparel. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, it's a baseball, soccer. Anyway, he's wearing this. This is why I love my husband. He's wearing this referee shirt. It's a little tight. So if you can imagine.
That's the way he likes him.
Little Irishman.
Way he likes him.
A little tight. A little tight on top. And they have a race with the dads, right? And somebody had said to Eleanor one time that they thought Colin was fat. Right? They said it. And it really hurt her feelings more than anything. I think Eleanor was like, I'm going to pop you right in the mouth. So she had been very upset. And this kid was at that school. And Colin ran the race against all the dads. And some of the dads are really fit. And I just need you to think about Colin Sweeney running on the beach of Costa Rica.
I've seen that guy run in a Speedo.
This
guy
ran for his life. And he won the heat. I think he was dead 30 feet in, and that guy by sheer force was not going to lose. And this guy was like a boulder rolling down here, like his shoulders were really high. And of course, I told you he's athletic, so he is running hard. His legs are up. I was like, he
runs the 40 yard dash like he makes love. And aggressive, athletic,
wide, lots of shoulders. But he did it.
And
so
in a
awesome.
Black and white shirt.
At least he's wearing pants at the elementary school. But he's running around this thing, and he's in first place. And I think in Eleanor's brain, that was the biggest fuck you to that kid that could have ever existed. Like, there are moments of redemption. We all have our comeuppance. And, like, turd on the you know, fifth grade or seventh grade, whatever it is, you know, what do you call it? Recess lot is not going to determine
in dashes.
Dashiell's success.
It was so funny. I go, well, maybe you could just, maybe this isn't funny. I go, maybe you could just make up a name and always call him by the wrong name. Cause I think that would stick. Just like, not a mean name, like call him Tristan or something. Like,
or maybe he'd be like, I guess I'm good with that. Like, here's the other thing.
No bigger slight than never knowing a person's name ever.
It pisses people off,
and
too.
And tell other people that his name is Tristan. And Dash was like, Mom, there's a kid named Tristan in my class that I really like. And I was like, oh, man, I don't have any good ideas.
You know, some of those things, too, you got to be like a duck and let it roll off your back. Yeah. It's not going to happen for us as mothers, but it can happen for them. Sometimes it's hard to know, like, when you should breathe air into it and have a conversation, right. Or when it's sometimes just like, what does that guy know? Like, Colin is very good about that. Like, kind of being like, just let it roll off your back. That is until it's a girl problem. Cause he doesn't know women still at all in any direction. He'll give Eleanor some advice. And I go, okay, if she does that, they're not going to treat her like a boy. They're going to be a bunch of girls.
Oh
and
yeah.
It's
there's
not. So there is you before you go telling her, that she's supposed to, you know, talk back, da, 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 da. You know, girls are different. They don't just like fist bump and then are done. Like, there will be fallout, and you don't know about that because you're a dude. Yeah. And he is like, what do you mean? I'm like, you just don't know how girls operate. That's why they're emotionally smart. Like, they braveheart that shit in seventh grade, you know, sixth grade.
Yeah.
So it's tricky, but our hearts are break, you know, they break for our kids when they have those moments, and you just hope that either they come out okay, or the other kid doesn't make it into their school they want.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Unfortunately for my children, I keep my friends close and my enemies closer. And so I will find out who his mom is.
Will you?
Oh my
You'll just
gosh.
Keep an eye on. You'll just
I'm
keep
just
an eye
I'm just
going
to keep an eye out. And yeah.
I always try to make Eleanor laugh, but I'll tell you, that girl, you want to talk? I think that's the Irish in her. This girl has a list of grudges that she's still holding on to that, like, is, I don't know if I'm a grudge holder. I think I might be.
I guess same. I guess I am. She's my child, I guess. I don't know how my genetics hit her, but I
don't know. You, between the, I, there are times I'm like, did we hang out so much that our, like, our eggs, like, meshed each other? Like, how did I have this kid that's like, she's so easygoing and sweet and thinks about people and is not impulsive and is not like, she's just kind and good. So when anything bad happens to her, I get very reactive. Whereas like my son, who I adore, is more like me. But Finn, I don't think would know. He's nice to everybody. Everybody's all right. And if somebody called him a name, he'd be like, I forgot. Like it's just nothing, you know? And I have to say, big shout out to him, because that boy got into the school he wanted to get into, and he worked really hard. And I sort of feel weird about it anyway, about the process, but I'm so proud of him putting
to high
all
school,
of the things
guys.
Together. Yeah, so, he got into a high school that he had to apply, which is something you do in California. And he got in. It was very competitive, and he had to take a standardized test. He had to interview. I thought I shit the bed on the interview, quite frankly. I kind of did. The guy was wearing a top knot. I found it obnoxious. And then, and he called me mom, the guy that interviewed. He called me mom. He's like, Mom, you got any questions for me? And I'm like,
why'd you call me mom? Start right there.
I'm like, first of all, I hate your hair. I didn't say that, but I did have a little, I did a little tiny bit of an attitude.
Well, he was very proud. He had worked really hard, and so then he had that win, which always feels good. So
you want to talk about feeling like I was going to barf.
Yeah.
We were getting ready to go on stage, and I knew we were going to find out the second you and I hit the stage. So I told Colin, don't tell me, like, just let me have the show to, like, because my biggest worry was that he would be disappointed and I wouldn't be there, or either way. The joy is there, and I don't get to be there. But you celebrated, Michelle celebrated. It was so cool. And to think that he's going to be a high schooler, I don't even know how to put that into my brain.
Yes,
14. What the hell?
Well, I know.
Does that mean I'm old?
No, not. You don't look old. You're very young.
Thank you.
And actually,
thank you, best friend.
Delilah told me that in her class, there's a mom who's 25. And I was like, wait, which?
There is one mom at.
I was like, wow. I am older than that.
All of us at Eleanor's school, I think we all are parents of kind of in the same age group. At least that's what it appeared to me. There wasn't anybody that I was like, oh, they're a lot older than me, or they're a lot younger than me. So we're all sitting in this super hot auditorium listening to the principal, who I love, but reminds me of Cruella DeVille, like, is like kind of yelling at us about what we need to do, which I love. And we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden it was like the doors like opened and like the air blew through the school, and the most gorgeous couple, like,
oh,
she's
man.
Wearing like an ethereal sundress that just like scoops down over her breasts and like is like short with like cowboy boots, and she's got like blonde hair, and she's holding hands with what might be baby Brad Pitt.
Oh my
and
God.
And if they were 28, I like in my head, as you know, I think first, I say first and think later. And Colin, he said his favorite thing is to see something that he knows I'm going to have a big reaction to, and then immediately watch me have the reaction.
Yep.
And evidently my face was like, what in the Sam? And Colin was dying. I couldn't get over it. I was like, are you, there's, how do we have children the same age? How do you look like this?
I don't know. And I tell you, I talk to those people like at a, you know, school function or something. And I'm like, oh, you just got back from Aruba. What's wrong with you? Because now I want to like call you fat or something terrible because
like, I need to knock you down.
I need to knock you down a couple of pegs because oh, God. See, we never grow out of it, kind of.
Never grow out of it. You're always sort of like wanting in one direction. It's just like being able to stop and take stock and go remind yourself, Dashiell, that you know how to code and you can write a script and you're good at lacrosse and you've got a family that loves you and you've got all these positive things. And one kid said a dumb thing. So yeah. In your feelings bucket, that kid doesn't get to add anything.
Well, I hope I didn't. Was
you
that
didn't
too,
do it? No.
Was it too down? It was really like
no way, man. I think
heavy
this is
on
the,
my brain. It's like middle school's no joke, and
it's no joke.
I am.
It's because we're not there to play goalie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, I'm gonna send you into the ring, but we gotta like this is when that's why I sort of believe in front loading. I've been talking to my kids about drugs for so long.
Oh God, I know.
They're like, I get it, Mom. If it comes from a pharmaceutical bottle, it's no, you can't trust it more than, like, that's the thing they make fun of when I tell them to act me out. What they do is that.
That's great.
So be it.
That's great.
So be it.
At some point, they listened. I mean, you got to, like, give these messages a million times to reinforce them. I know.
And I told him, I go, I was like, hey, man. You know that you're not supposed to ever be alone with a grown-up man ever. Like, there's no reason for you to be with... And he's like, I know, I know. And I go, don't you roll your eyes at me.
I know.
This is like, we're just trying to keep him safe. They don't care. They don't listen.
I mean, in my conversation with Dash, I said, I go, you know that I'm your mom, and I think everything about you is perfect, and I'm so proud of you. And he was like, I know you think that. Which
I know he's like, Mom, we really
hammered that point home. And I'm glad, you know, he's like, I'm going to try better. I'm going to try harder in this area. And I'm like,
Well, let's switch your writing over from what you're going to do to improve yourself. And maybe a list of things Alex can do to improve himself. Just change the.
I'm going to work
I'm not
on
the
that
person
list.
To go to. I'm not the person to go. This
he's
is
like,
where.
Mom, why are you volunteering in gym class all of a sudden? I mean, I am that bitch.
Mom, why are you putting on boxing gloves? This feels
we're volunteering or we're gonna do a new? Yeah. How upsetting is that, Alex? This is what that exact amount of weight looks like on a 40-something-year-old woman. It doesn't stay together, and we'll see what you look like when you're in your 40s, buddy.
This will just be enough to scare you. And he'll be like,
yeah, I do want to like, it'd be great if I could sit my kids down and be like, let me show you my high school yearbook. And now I'm going to take you to the Facebook profile and show you what the reality of life looks like. Nobody sees
the same. Let's not do that yet. Let's keep the, I don't want to ruin
their
life.
Alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Eleanor saw a picture of me from when I was young, and not to sound like I don't recognize that I have aged. I just don't think I've worn my hair very different for a long time. But she saw a picture of me from that big photo album that my mom made for me. And she saw a picture of me and she goes, oh my God, Mom, you used to be so pretty.
Ouch.
I go, well, do I look that different? She goes, yes. And I was like, okay, I just keep giving you the opportunity to see, you know, not what you do. You know, not what you do.
No.
And then
no, they
Finn
don't.
Will see it.
That's what
like,
I mean. They don't, what comes out of their mouth. Know. They don't know how to modulate that shit either.
I don't know how to modulate what comes out of my mouth, you guys. Casey's going to have to go back and edit this episode. It doesn't sound like I want to kick the shit out of a 4-year-old.
Oh my God, me too. But I mean, we've all been there
We're
as
good.
Moms, I think.
Okay. I've got a hot flash.
Okay.
He's a little out of the box.
Okay.
But I think he's filthy and gorgeous.
You know I like filthy.
And I just read something about him that I thought was really cool. Okay. Walton Goggins as Rick Hatchett on White Lotus season 3.
Yes. Yes, okay. I agree.
He's the guy that's on, what is the Righteous Gemstones.
Yes.
And he has been in a lot of movies as a strange, like, I know he was in a Tarantino movie. He's got that, like, the big old veneers that I think
he's a great character actor.
He is, but he's attractive.
Yeah, he is.
Character actors are supposed to be a little bit, like, off kilter, and he's attractive. Let me tell you a story about this guy.
I don't think he's attractive because of his appearance per se, although he's not bad. I just think he is so, like, tough and, yeah, like, distant and filthy. Yeah,
just
I agree.
Filthy.
I agree.
Like, he shouldn't be attractive.
No.
If I describe this guy to you, you know, but it shows that it's that thing. If you've got swag, if you got a little bit of, like, not give a shit kind of vibe,
yeah,
there's something about his eyeballs that draw me in. He's weirdly thin. I think he appears to be like 5'4". I don't care. So when he moved out to LA, like, in, like, early 90s, he was not having any success at all. He was, like, broke. And I do appreciate when people are honest about that. They're not, yeah, like, I got out here, I was sitting on a stoop, and someone said, hey, do you want to be in the movies? It's never that way.
I was, like, waiting tables at the Beverly Hills Polo Club.
How'd you get that job? That would take 10 years to get that job.
Oh, my
you know,
God.
Talk to me that you're working at BJ's in Burbank, because that's where we all started. So he moved out to LA. He was dead ass broke. And so he was working somewhere that was paying him nothing. So he was like, forget this. I'm going to start my own valet company. And he started a valet company, right?
Wow.
So just on his own initiative, just to make enough money to go on auditions. So he, like, instead of being the valet driver, he's like, I'm going to start a valet company. So him and three of his bros started valet company and opened for, like, 6 restaurants, right? And he was doing well at the valet company. Then he starts working at, like, LA Fitness. And he's like, well, I'm making no money. I'm making, like, an hourly wage. I'm going to get certified as a trainer. So he gets certified as a trainer. And then him and those two buddies that did the valet company, they started going into LA Fitnesses. And if you remember, like, there was a time where LA Fitness did not have indoor trainers. You had to have a person come into your gym with you. They kind of still do it that way. But if that person, you, basically, the
I
gym
got,
has
when
to,
I was in LA Fitness, I got this 22-year-old dude real awkward around me.
Same, right? Postpartum, I was like, we can't work together. Like, you're drinking milk after a workout for protein, but I think it looks like it's your yummy snack.
Something coming out of your pants that looks like skin, and it's coming out of the top of your pants, and I don't know if we can do anything with that.
I remember.
And then he'd make barfing noises.
Yeah. Well, he had to stretch me, and I remember I hadn't been worked like that by a man other than my husband. he was, like, leaning across my legs, and I'm so inflexible at this point, and I'm also so chub from postpartum. And I remember being like, I'm sweaty, and I'm not 100% sure I didn't pee a little bit down there.
Yeah,
so, like,
farted.
Can we not do this? Anyway, Walter Gong. Basically, this guy decides instead of being an hourly employee, he is going to be a trainer. And then he is going to, I forget how he did it. He went to other gyms in the area and basically showed them that if they were to allow these three trainers for the price of one to go into the gyms and work with clients, they could work something out. And it is now the model that LA Fitness uses for all of their trainers. So this guy, like, had, like, business initiative. So then he goes, so at that point I was making, like, $75 an hour. And in 1991, that's a lot of money. So then I was able to really focus on my auditions. I was like, I like a guy that's, like, entrepreneurial, you know, but also I love that he's a trainer because he's the dirtbag. And I think he's going to be into a postpartum lady like me. That's what I'm saying.
Some people are going to be successful, like, no matter what they do. And he sounds like one of those people. Like, he'll just figure it out. I am concerned how much you've done a deep dive into Walter Goggins.
So much. Do you want another story real quick?
I mean, childhood. Okay, one more.
No, I'm not going to that. I don't want to care about him. I find him sexually attractive. Okay.
Yeah, I want to undress him with my eyes and not feel bad.
So, Baby Schwarzenegger, who's on White Lotus, who's really sweet and delightful.
Playing the biggest jerk ever, though. It's great.
Playing the biggest jerk ever. He's scared shitless. It's first big gig. Everybody's calling him Nepo Baby, so he's feeling really nervous to be there. And he's evidently they're getting ready to shoot the first scene, and he's riddled with anxiety and nerves. And he looks at Walter Goggins, which I feel like Walton Goggins would be the absolute person you would want next to you if you were nervous. And he goes, "Do you ever get nervous?" And Walton Goggins goes, "Fuck yeah, I get nervous." He goes, "I just never doubt that I'm supposed to be here." He goes, "I'm supposed to be here and I can be nervous, but don't let that get in the way of you doing your job. So just do your job."
And that is how the sexual relationship between the Schwarzenegger child. Not child. And he's well into his 29.
That's a bigger conversation, but I'm just saying it's Walton Goggins. Appealing.
Walton or Walter?
It's Walton. Walton.
What?
Yeah, Walton Goggins. Doesn't roll off the tongue. No. Should be Walter Goggins. Is what I probably said in the beginning. It's Walton Goggins.
I like that better.
I like Rick Hatchett. I like that character.
It sounds like Walter Goggins should have his own chocolate company.
Walter Goggins.
I got her a box of Walter Goggins. And
this lady would buy him. Did we podcast?
I think we podcasted.
Pioneer.